With an entirely new look to their 2021 roster, it feels like the Yankees have a fresh start. They got off to a great start by sweeping the Miami Marlins, and we're going to talk about it on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We're not in our typical studio. Delahanty Media Studio is closed for this show. We are coming to you live from the Jersey Shore. Yes, it's summer, and of course, as you all know, August is the Sunday of summer, which is disappointing to say the least because that means I go back to work in a couple of weeks, but nonetheless, I love my job, I love being there, but I do love the time off that I can enjoy talking some Yankees baseball with you. What's going on in Yankee land? The New York Yankees, after making a handful of moves prior to the trade deadline, have a new look. I don't know about you guys, but I just feel like it is a brand new start to the season. This team has life, they look a lot better on paper than they did even a couple of weeks ago, and it's just so refreshing to think that this team has a chance to make a run during the second half of the year and have added reinforcements that definitely should help get that cause done. They swept the Marlins, three games in Miami, National League rules. We saw a lot of different things than we're used to. You know, we're spoiled with the DH, but nonetheless, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to break down some of the key players and moments in this series and kind of look ahead to the Yankees' upcoming schedule, one of which they really should take advantage of. But of course, we got to remind everybody how to follow us on social media and also how to find our show. Let's start off by telling you about our show. We're on all podcasting platforms, so Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, shows there available for you. Make sure you subscribe on whatever podcasting platform you listen on, so you get all the latest news and updates regarding our show and more. Make sure you also rate and review the show on that given platform because it does go a long way in helping promote our show. If you're interested in what the Delahanty Media brand has to offer, go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates regarding our brand. Got a couple of great shows, a lot of good content pouring out. Make sure you check that out. And of course, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account, Nick Delahanty. And of course, find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Now, you're all, for the returning listeners, of course, accustomed to how I like to operate this show. And usually I'll go through each game in a series and I'll break down everything that I feel is important about it, each game by game. This show, I kind of want to break down a little bit more in regards to given players and certain situations that broke down during this series. Before we get into the actual games, I do want to wish Don Mattingly the best. He came down with COVID-19. He was vaccinated, but he still came down with the virus. Hopefully the former Yankee player, legend of that, and coach is okay and is doing better as we go along. It wasn't the same without Donnie Baseball in the dugout for most of the series, so hopefully he's back in the near future to lead his young Marlins. They do have a lot of promise. A lot of their young pitchers are very good, and they should have a bright future once Kim Yang and the crew have a chance to kind of put more pieces together. But I have to, and you know, this is something that I think Yankee fans are very, very excited about, and that is Anthony Rizzo. Man, what more could you say about him? In his first game as a Yankee, hits a home run, then follows it up with another home run the next day. He was phenomenal in this series. Let's give you some stats. He is one of just seven Yankees ever to homer in their first two games with the organization. The last one to do it was Yiman Choi in 2017. His current teammate Aaron Judge accomplished the feat back in 2016. Remember that tear that Judge went on when he came up? That was part of it. And Rizzo was added to a list that featured players with 5+ runs scored and 2+ RBIs in their first two games with the New York Yankees. That stat came from KT Sharp. You want to know the other name on the list? Joe DiMaggio back in 1936. Pretty good list to join there. And he also became the first player in Yankees history to reach base 8 or more times in his first 2 games with the franchise. The others to do it 7 times were Gary Sheffield in 2004 and DJ LeMahieu back in 2019. So Rizzo making a first good impression. And obviously, it's not just offensively. Defensively, you saw him make a bunch of nice plays. Couple of scoops at first, really showing great footwork at the bag. You saw the Gary Sanchez pick off the first base where Rizzo put a beautiful tag on him. And then in game 3, you saw a well-turned double play. Not only is Rizzo going to give you something offensively, and I think he's going to really take advantage of that short porch in Yankee Stadium, but defensively, it is such an upgrade for this team. This team has not had a first baseman of that caliber since Mark Teixeira. He is that good. He is incredible. If you follow me on my personal Twitter account, you saw that I'm already vouching for the Yankees to extend this man. You know, I love him. I've loved him when he was with the Cubs. I think that was a tremendous grab for Brian Cashman. I think it's going to pay dividends. And I think that by the end of the season, the Yankees are going to really realize just how valuable this guy is and how valuable he could be for an extended period of time. Where does that leave Luke Voit, who's still with the organization? Brian Cashman came out and said it's unfortunate that Voit kind of got lost in the shuffle in terms of, you know, the roster upgrade, but nonetheless, the Yankees envision a plan where he's still involved. He will begin a rehab stint on Tuesday. The Yankees are expecting him back sometime in the near future. You saw it in Miami. Giancarlo Stanton playing a little left field. Looks solid. Obviously, the Yankees didn't leave him out there for the entire game. They're trying to build him back up. But that's something that the Yankees need to utilize given the current roster. They need Stanton to be able to play the field at least once to twice a week. Keep the DH spot open. Allow guys to have days off, even half days off by using that DH spot and finding ways to get Voit in the lineup. Because let's face it, most days, Rizzo's going to be in the lineup. He's really good against lefties. He's been decent against righties this year, but he really, really crushes lefties. It was really trying and questionable when the Marlins went to Richard Bleier to face him in one of the games, especially with the game close. You know, this guy is just incredible. So they need Stanton to play the field at least once or twice a week. Keep that option open. And hopefully they'll be able to keep everybody healthy. Speaking of health, DJ LeMahieu, Gio Urshela, we saw them partially in the series. LeMahieu battling tricep issues, Urshela dealing with a hamstring injury. Both players were available off the bench. Neither one started during this series. The Yankees need them both. I think that with the new look lineup, we all were excited to see it all into fruition. But unfortunately, it has to wait a couple of days. They're both expected back in the lineup in the near future, but hopefully it's not a long-term thing. I can't wait to see LeMahieu, Judge, Rizzo, Gallo, Stanton all in one lineup. I am very, very excited for that. But in their place, Tyler Wade played third base during the series. You know, Wade is a guy, and I rip him a lot. You know, if you follow me on social media, I rip him. But I guess because it's my cousin's birthday, you know, she absolutely loves him. Happy birthday, Maddie and Lex. Maddie absolutely loves Wade. She actually got a Wade jersey. I told her it was a Lou Piniella jersey because, you know, I'm just that kind of cousin. I have to bust her chops. But I'm going to say something nice about Tyler Wade. I hope that they're listening into this show, and I hope that they keep this for future reference because I don't know when the next time it's going to be. John Sterling said it best. He's not a guy that's going to wow you offensively. He has a lot of speed, so when he does get on, he can do damage on the bases. But one thing that he is very good at is playing defense. And you saw a lot of highlight reel plays from him at third base. Something that isn't very easy for a player in a bench role to accomplish. There are plays that Urshela makes. You know, he makes them look easy because that's just how good Urshela is. But Wade made some really nice plays that really helped the Yankees over the series. And, you know, you might not get anything offensively from him, but he does step up and play good defense. So I think that in the question of how he's still on a major league roster, given how poorly he has hit, I think that's the answer right there. The defensive versatility is very valuable for this team. He can play all over the infield, play a little outfield. It gives Aaron Boone some flexibility. So yeah, you would love to see the bat come around because he could be a steady contributor, especially given how many injuries the Yankees seem to have over time. But nonetheless, he showed just why the Yankees have kept him around, because the defense is valuable. So I give him credit for this weekend. You know, it is what it is in terms of the bat. He does get on base a couple of times, but again, defense is what's keeping him in the big leagues. Let's transition over to the pitching. Jameson Taillon has been really good of late. And if you haven't noticed, check out his stat line over the last couple of weeks. He's been getting a lot better. I feel like he has finally settled in to the new surroundings of New York, and he's starting to really figure out what's the best way to utilize his repertoire to get batters out. And yeah, the Yankees have had issues with the starting pitching. A lot of their starting pitching options are on the injured list, but Taillon's been getting stronger and stronger, and that's a very good sign for this Yankees team. His latest outing, pitched into the sixth inning, did not allow a run. He's limiting base traffic, which is good. He got the ERA down to 4.11, so you got to give him credit. The guy has been really good of late. Game 2 starter, Domingo Germán, he only went 4 innings. And you could make the case that it was a strategic move from Aaron Boone because the game was close. The Yankees needed a run to take the lead, and he ended up pinch hitting for him. But nonetheless, it ended up being that Germán ended up on the injured list due to shoulder inflammation, which is not good for the Yankees moving forward. They need everybody healthy, and you could tell that there was something wrong with Germán. Buck Showalter said it on the YES Network after the game. He particularly didn't like Germán's body language and felt that if the Yankees would have kept him in, things could have unraveled the way he was going. But maybe the body language, because he wasn't feeling right. And maybe the plan all along was to go to the bullpen because he was injured. So I thought that it was just a smart move by Aaron Boone. It worked out because the Yankees scored on a pass ball. But it's a very concerning thing to have now another starting pitcher end up on the injured list. And at the time, it just felt like strategy. Boone trusting the bullpen, and the bullpen was really good. But hopefully it's not a lingering issue and Germán could get back, because the Yankees do need pitchers to eat up some innings. The bullpen, in this game particular, in Game 2, Lickey was really good. Struck out 4 of the 6 batters he retired. Then they went to Clay Holmes. He only needed 5 pitches to get through the inning. I like what he brings to the table. The high ground ball rate, when he attacks hitters, he has a plan, and he doesn't let them elevate the ball. So that is crucial when he gets to Yankee Stadium. He's going to find that out very soon. But I think this is going to be a nice addition to the Yankees bullpen. I know it's only a couple of outings in, but I like what I've seen from Clay Holmes. And then, of course, Chad Green and Loaisiga was called upon to close the game. Chapman threw 3 out of 4 days prior, so Loaisiga gets the save opportunity, his 3rd of the year, 3 in 5 chances. Loaisiga, after the game, said how much he loves closing, he loves the energy. I think by the end of his career, he will be a closer at some point, whether it's for the Yankees or for somebody else. And while we're talking about the bullpen, Joely Rodriguez made his debut, only needed 1 pitch to get out of it. He was able to get a broken back ground out. So we didn't get to really see Rodriguez much, but I'm sure we'll see a lot more of him over the next couple of weeks. Speaking of debuts, Joey Gallo's did not go as anticipated for him. He only picked up 1 hit over the series. Again, a couple of the fly balls that Gallo hit would have been clear home runs in Yankee Stadium, so I'm not concerned about him. Yes, he put the ball in play. He didn't strike out too much. I just think it was a little bit of a bad luck situation for him. He's going to figure it out. I think this first series at the stadium against the Orioles, we're going to see him homer at least once in this series. He's going to really love that short porch in right field, so I wouldn't be concerned about him. It's a big pitcher-friendly ballpark in Miami. And, you know, before Yankee fans start going crazy that he's struggling out of the gate, I wouldn't say it's struggling. I would say it's bad luck. He hit the ball hard, put the ball in play. It's just a matter of finding holes, and I'm sure he'll find them in the very near future. Speaking of struggling, Gleyber Torres, not a weekend to remember. No hits over the series. Really looked lost. Made a really ugly play to try to tag a runner on a double play attempt. He didn't even tag the runner with the ball. Could have cost the Yankees, but nonetheless, it didn't. Gleyber has to figure it out, especially with the reinforcements in the lineup. The Yankees have a ton of weapons, and Gleyber's going to see pitches to hit. You know, you're going to be hitting behind guys like Rizzo and Gallo and Judge and Stanton. You're going to see pitches to hit. You got to be ready. So hopefully, it's just a bad weekend for Gleyber, and he can figure it out moving forward, because the Yankees do need his bat to get going. It only makes their lineup much, much stronger. Before we look ahead to the Yankees' upcoming schedule and what they need to do over that span, I do want to touch on the lineup a little bit, because I've seen a lot of mixing and matching with the lineup and whatnot. Here's my take on the everyday lineup when you have all your guys healthy. Obviously, LeMahieu in the one spot playing second base. Judge playing right, whatever that may happen to be. We're going to assume that Stanton is your DH here, okay? So just bear with me. So LeMahieu, Judge, Rizzo. I like the contact between the power hitters. That's why I have him there. Stanton in the four hole, DHing, then Gallo in left field. I would like to split those two up, but nonetheless, you know, it doesn't really work out that way. Then I would go a mix of Urshela, Torres, Sanchez, and then obviously Brett Gardner is your center fielder for the time being, and then him in the nine hole. So that's not even thinking about the opportunities when Luke Voit comes back. That's a pretty scary lineup, and the Yankees have a lot of options to work with, more so than I think Aaron Boone had to work with earlier in the year. We went from a time where Greg Allen, Ryan Lamar, Trey Ambergie were buying up at bats in the Yankees outfield. Now we're looking at Joey Gallo, Aaron Judge, possibly Giancarlo Stanton, and of course, I know everybody wants to get rid of Brett Gardner, but the Yankees really don't have more options than that in center field. So yes, it's a very different dynamic. A whole 100% different dynamic. And that's what's leading everybody to thinking that this team has a chance to compete. They're only a couple of games out in the wild card. They're starting to creep up in the division. Who knows? A hot stretch could get them right back into the equation. The Yankees have a 3-game set coming up at home against the Baltimore Orioles. Game 1, Monday night, 7 o'clock. Andrew Heaney makes his first start as a Yankee. In Game 2, Gerrit Cole will look to bounce back after a rough start. He'll be opposed by Alexander Wells. And in Game 3, which is another 7 o'clock start, Jameson Taillon will oppose Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey, who's been really good. If you go on keepingaheel.com, you'll see my latest article about him. He has been really good of late. You know, his last couple of starts, he's pitched 6 innings. He's on an 18 and a third scoreless inning streak. The Yankees are going to have their work cut out for him, but it's a situation where you could say that they can work his pitch count and maybe even snap this streak that Harvey is currently on. After the 3 games against the Orioles, the Yankees have a 4-game set in the Bronx against the Seattle Mariners. Then they'll travel to Kansas City for 3 against the Royals. Then they have a 3-game set against the White Sox. Remember, August 12th is the Field of Dreams game, and then they have a day off before the next 2 games against the White Sox before returning home for a big homestand. So again, in this stretch, you got to take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. You got to take 3 out of 4 from the Mariners. You have to take 2 out of 3 from the Royals. If you can do that, you're right back in the thick of things. Because remember, the Yankees welcome the Red Sox for 3 games coming up. And then they have a lot of division games in September. I don't want to say this is a weaker part of the schedule, because, you know, every major league team you have to take seriously. No one's going to hand wins to the New York Yankees. They're going to have to take advantage of the upcoming schedule. And of course, as that schedule comes along, we'll be here to discuss all the latest news and updates regarding your favorite team. So make sure you check out our show, subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcasting platform you so choose to listen on, and of course, hit us up on social media to talk during games and whatnot about everything going on with regards to the New York Yankees. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and I am the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. Stay tuned for more series recaps as the season rolls along. Until then, as always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.